The other day, we were driving down Route 32, and I saw my dream car. It was a GT40. And for those that don't know what a GT40 is, it's like a Ferrari that Ford makes. It's their race car, and it's a 1,000-horsepower car. Just for curiosity, I looked it up on eBay and see if there's any GT40s for sale. And there was one GT40 that was for sale for $297,000. A little bit out of my price range. That I may have to wait. Speaking of traveling, we have the airplanes. Do you know we can travel halfway around the world in 15 hours that plane can carry hundreds of passengers safely from one destination to another, more safe than automobiles? We have all the electronics, all the gadgets. We have radio, TV. We have huge tractors, combines, that does the work of many, many farmers' hands. We have computers, cybercast, telephones, cell phones, refrigeration. How nice is it to have a refrigerator to keep our milk cold or meat cold so it doesn't spoil? We have freeways, spacecrafts. We have the internet, wireless. We have detailed imaging. If you're pregnant, you go to the doctor, they can put that scanner on you, and you can see the little fingers. The imaging is unbelievable. The wonderful household appliances that we have to make our life so easy. All the health technologies, if you work in the healthcare, if you work as a nurse, a doctor, we have hospitals in every city. The pharmaceuticals, we have medicines for this, for that, for colds, for runny noses. We have laser and fiber optics. We have nuclear technologies. We have high-performance materials. At work, we have this ceramic fibers that we use. We're testing right now. It's very lightweight, but it's very heat-resistant. It's just like what they use on the space shuttle. Do you remember the space shuttle when some of those plates came off and created hot zones? Those were ceramic plates. And now we're testing them inside of jet engines. With all of these wonderful inventions in the past century, there is a price to pay. Since 1916, there has still been over 10,000 deaths from polio. Over 10,000. Our Indian population went from 12 million down to 235,000 due to just smallpox alone. Smallpox. In the past 20 years, we've seen outbreaks of Ebola and cholera. Do you know that malaria is still one of the most common infectious diseases today? Malaria, killing over 3 million people every year. With our great advancements in the medicine and pharmaceuticals, don't you think we'd have these things under control by now? In the past century, we've had terrible genocides. The Chinese dynasty killed between 49 to 78 million in the 50s and 60s. Of course, we know that Germany's leader, Adolf Hitler, who murdered 12 million Jews. Just yesterday on the news, the world economy shows signs of slowing. Signs of slowing still? In another sign, the troubles in the Eurozone have cast a chill over the global economy. The U.S. published weaker than expected job creation data for the month of June. The world's largest economy, the United States, only created 80,000 jobs in the month of June. That's it, 80,000. And we're supposed to be on a rebound of the economy. Too few to budge the U.S. unemployment rate off its 8.2% level. 8.2 is where we're currently at. The U.S. Labor Department reported yesterday. The unemployment rate stayed at 8.2. It's a recession level figure, even though the Great Recession has technically been over for 3 years. No president since World War II has faced re-election with unemployment over 8%. Did you know that? It was 7.8% when Gerald Ford lost to Jimmy Carter in 1976. Ronald Reagan faced 7.2% unemployment in 1984 and trounced Walter Mondale. We'd have to have 220,000 new jobs a month over the next few months to re-election in order just to get under the 8% unemployment rate. Economists are very doubtful that we'll ever obtain this goal. Do you know that we have one vehicular death in America every 13 seconds? Every 13 seconds, someone dies in a car crash. It's about 43,000 a year, 115 people a day. We engineer sleek, beautiful cars, but we cannot design them well enough to handle the drunk driving, the texting, the tiredness of people falling asleep at the wheel, or the reckless fast drivers. Let's look at hunger in the world. You know, 13%, 1 in 7 people in the world are starving. 1 in 7. 24,000 people die of hunger every day. One person every 4 seconds. That's 815 million human beings suffer from hunger. 815 million. There are about 1 billion illiterate people in the world today, about 26% of the adult population. Here we are, brethren. We live in a very creative, inventive age of technology. Yet, we cannot cure malaria. We have amazing farm machinery, huge tractors with GPSs that are unmanned. You program the GPS, hit auto, and it will plow your fields. But yet, people are dying of starvation every 4 seconds. Does that make sense to you? With such great powers in this day and age, such great abilities, our modern sciences, our higher levels of education, the world's many religions, the big governments that we have today, we can't make it work. Point number one, man has rejected God's knowledge. Man has rejected God's knowledge. Out of all things that we've taught, that we have been taught through kindergarten, elementary school, junior high, high school, college, the school of hard knocks, what is the most necessary knowledge to know? What do you think it is? The knowledge that God gives us, telling us what our purpose is in His master plan. What our purpose is in His master plan. This is the knowledge that is very crucial and important. People have rejected over the centuries. Reading the history in the Bible of Adam and Eve, how Satan was cast down and deceived the whole earth. Our scientists, our educators, our leaders of the nation, have rejected the knowledge that God supplies us with. In this one book of the Bible, we have the answers to many, many questions that plague us today. However, since the beginning of man, Satan has deceived the whole world. Let's turn to Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, 9. It says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him." He began deceiving the angels, and then began deceiving the humans, beginning with Adam and Eve in the very beginning. And then here we are today in our generation. Satan is still deceiving. He's still at it. He has a job to perform. And as Scripture says in verse 9, that it is current that the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world, deceiving the nations, our neighbors, our brothers, our co-workers. But yet, it's you and me that are the oddballs. Since we have embraced God's knowledge, we are the minority. We are the ones that stand out as either righteous people, or we stand out as hypocrites, depending on how we live our lives and how we're viewed by others. You know, I get tested almost daily for my observances at work. And the big one is generally that I don't eat pork. It's a very hard thing for people at work. They have a really difficult time that I don't eat pork. I don't understand it. But it comes up almost daily. I generally say to them that I'm not eating that unclean animal clogging up my arteries. I'm not going to have a heart attack by eating that pork. Nope. I'm going to follow God's law. And then I chuckle and walk off. Let's turn to Luke 4, 1 through 14. We'll read of a great example of being tested. Luke 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil." And that says being tempted for 40 days. Not one day, not 2 days, but 40 days. "And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." So you see Christ fasting for 40 days while Satan was tempting him. Verse 3. "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.'" And I'm pretty sure that Satan knew that Christ was the Son of God. He said, "But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" So we can see in this scripture that Satan was given these things. Satan did not deserve them. He didn't acquire them. He didn't create them. Satan was given these things that he can also give freely. Verse 7, Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He shall give you his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So we can see from these scriptures that Satan had continually tried to overthrow God from his throne. Satan has tried to overthrow Christ from the right hand of God. And here we read that for 40 days straight, during Christ's fasting, that he tried to dethrone Jesus Christ. Through Satan's pride, Satan believes that he will succeed and continues to try to deceive us. Deceive us as Christ followers, as people who embrace God's knowledge. So just as Christ was tested by Satan for 40 days straight, we also are tested by Satan day after day. Point two is God's plan is to create man in his image, to think as his son, Jesus Christ. God's plan is to create man in his image, that we are to think just as Jesus Christ, the same thought process. Let's begin in Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. It says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. You know, this is something that is very extraordinary that God creates. He makes something in his image. It wasn't just another animal, but it was in the image of God. God created man with a method of communication, language. Man also has a wonderful gift of creativity. Some of us can play beautiful instruments like the piano. Some of us have beautiful voices to sing special music. And some of us are just plain beautiful. You know, at a week or two ago at work, going through these scriptures of Genesis, we have a web page, and on the web page was an article on GLBT, on gay, lesbian, transvestites, and there's a forum on the website of how we need to be a diverse workforce. And there was quite a few comments on that website for and against it that was across the United States of employees. So being the employee I am, meek and mild, I had to leave a comment as well. And as I was writing my comment, I did quote scripture about how we are to leave our parents and cleave unto our man is to cleave unto the woman. And quoted the scripture, and you know, here we are as a company putting money into this group, an organization. I said, this is something I don't believe in, I don't support it, and it's not something that should be in the work environment. We're here to work. We're here to make money, to be productive. And this is very unproductive to the work environment. And as soon as I hit submit, I got a reply in my email. And I thought, oh boy, here I am. I'm going to have to go down to the second floor and talk to management. But the reply basically said that since I used the word gay, it flagged it as inappropriate material. And I thought, that's crazy, because that's what the organization is about. So you just never know. My point is, we all have to stand up for our beliefs. We live a certain way of lifestyle. We try to follow Jesus Christ. And we do have to stand up for our beliefs, even in the workforce. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We can learn to think as Christ did. Being baptized, we're giving the Holy Spirit. We can grow to become more like Jesus Christ. As we mature, as we grow spiritually, we can reason, we can understand, we can comprehend, and make those right decisions just like Jesus Christ did. Point three. What is man's purpose? Why would God reproduce himself? What is man's purpose? Why do you think our Creator God would reproduce himself, make something in his image, physically and spiritually? Why would he do that? God has given us not just a brain to think and have instinct, like animals, but he's given us a mind to have reason, to understand, to make choices on moral and spiritual decisions. God's plan is to bridge the gap between the physical and the spiritual. That's God's plan. As we are called, we are to become more spiritual, and as the kingdom comes, Jesus Christ returns, the physical will change into spiritual. So we see that God's plan is to bridge the gap between the physical and the spiritual. Let's turn to Job 32, verse 6. Job 32, 6. I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. Verse 7, I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. So, in verse 8, we see that there is a spirit of man, that the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. This sets us apart from the animals, from the creatures. God has given us His Spirit to make moral choices, to choose right from wrong, not just live based upon survival of the fittest. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. We'll read through verse 16. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear is heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We know that we must have God's Spirit to become more like Jesus Christ, to think more like Him, to understand the Scriptures, to have a more thorough understanding of the correct way to live, of the correct values that we should have, to have a higher set of morals and Christian values. Let's turn to Isaiah 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, 8, and we'll read verse 9 as well. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are the potter. And all we are, the work of Your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are Your people. We all know that we are physical beings, starting as a fetus, growing in the belly of our mothers, becoming babies, crying, eating, growing, become teenagers, and eventually adults. As a called person, we also have that same cycle of growth. We are a baby in Christ, feeding upon the milk. Then as we grow spiritually, we partake of the meat as we continue to grow. It's our job, brethren, to take advantage of the booklets that we have, of the videos that Home Office provides, to perform our daily prayer and a Bible study in order to grow spiritually. God has given us a wonderful opportunity to be a part of His plan. We live in a great century, full of innovations and creativity. We have accepted God's calling, the narrow path of life, we have accepted to embrace His Word. We know that God's plan was to create man in His image and to bridge the gap between the physical world and the spiritual world. Brethren, we have great human potential. We have a transformation to take place. Let's continue to transform into the image of our eldest brother, Jesus Christ.